Hare Krishna, today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Karasudha Mataji speaking on the Nectarian Mellows of Gopi Sita. Mataji, you can take over the call.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Very grateful to be in all of your association. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Nabhaya Namaha Pankaja Madine Namaha Pankaja Mitraya Namaste Pankaja Angraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare So we will continue on with the Nectarian Mellows of Sri Gopi Gita. We had completed the text of the Gopi Gita. Today we will continue from text 4 onwards. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Jaya Pataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitaya Kripa Pradayane Gora Katha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatarine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, Chapter 31, entitled The Gopis' Songs of Separation. Reading from text 4 onwards. Text 4. Nakhalo Gopika Nandano Bhava Akhila Dehinam Antaratma Drek Vikhana Sarthita Vishwa Guptaye Sakha Udeva Translation. You are not actually the son of the Gopi Yashoda, O friend, but rather the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Shatvata dynasty. So the gopis, they are continuing their appeal to Krishna to appear in front of them. As we all know, we remember from our last narration of the previous three verses of the Gopi Gita, that the gopis are actually crying in separation from Krishna because Krishna has disappeared from the Rasa dance. He has even disappeared from Srimati Radharani herself also. And the gopis are much more worried that Srimati Radharani is in anxiety, in separation from Krishna, than their own personal anxiety. And that is the same for even Srimati Radharani. The reason why Srimati Radharani, as we explained before, that the reason why she, made Krishna also go away by, exhibiting external pride, Krishna left even Srimati Radharani, because Radharani was not feeling nice that all of her gopi friends were bereft of Krishna's association and that she was the only unique person with whom Krishna was. So Srimati Radharani could not make her gopi friends feel that anxiety in separation from Krishna. So out of her most supreme, motherly compassion, Srimati Radharani let go of her own personal happiness so that she can also be along with the gopis and appeal to Krishna to reappear in front of all of them. That is the magnanimity of Srimati Radharani. And of course, before starting, this text 4 onwards today, I'd again like to say that I'm definitely not qualified speak on these very esoteric subject matter, but I will just try to repeat what I have heard from Srila Prabhupada and what I have heard from the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So praying and begging all of you to kindly bless me so we can understand these esoteric verses spoken by Srimati Radharani and the gopis in the proper mood and cherish our own and nourish our own devotional life. So, text 4, the gopis are actually directly claiming to Krishna that they are saying that, Krishna, we know who you are. That you have just right now, you have appeared as the son of Mother Yashoda. But you're not restricted to just be the son of Mother Yashoda. You are not an ordinary person. We know that very well, that you are indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is, Swarat, he is Abhigya. He is, all-pervasive. You don't have to be bound to just, one gopi, or you're not bound to, just be in one particular dynasty. Nothing can bind you. You are completely independent. And the purpose for which you have come, Krishna, what is the purpose that you have come here this time? You came because Lord Brahma headed all the devatas. They came to you. They begged you to come and save Mother Earth. And that is the reason why you came. That is the reason, that is the sole purpose of your coming down is Paritranaya Sadhunam, to deliver the pious. And by the way, Vinashaya Chadushkritam. And as a, as a side effect, you will also destroy the miscreants. But the main purpose for which you have come is to give pleasure to your devotees. That is why you have come. You have come to protect your devotees and to give pleasure to your devotees. So what are you doing right now? You have disappeared from us. You are giving us so much anxiety. We are crying in your separation. And you don't even care, Krishna. So the gopis are rebuking Krishna in this manner, that what your purpose for coming? Your purpose for coming is to protect your devotees and to give pleasure to your devotees, but you are doing against it. You are going against it. You are doing the opposite, Krishna. How can you do this? Lord Brahma has called you. You know, for the gopis, in this particular Gopi Gita, there is, you know, in this particular verse, the gopis are glorifying Lord Brahma. That glorifying means making him an aid to support their conviction that Krishna has come to protect the devotees. So Brahma is like right now on their side. He's a friend right now for the gopis. But later on in the verses, we see that they even rebuke even Lord Brahma. Why? Because he being the creator has created the eyelashes, which, you know, keep blinking, and it impedes them from seeing Krishna in one drishti, without blinking. They actually want to see Krishna. But they're cursing Lord Brahma that, why did you create eyelids for us? You being the creator, why did you do this? So like this, the gopis, they are, you know, they've used Lord Brahma in various situations to show their ultimate attachment to Krishna, how much they are deeply attached to Krishna, that they know that Krishna is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is supremely independent. He is, you know, Swarat. He is the Swarat Supreme Person. But still, he has appeared for a purpose. And right now, the very fact that Krishna has disappeared from them is going against that purpose. So that is the main purport of this particular verse. And in the purport also, it is explained that the gopis here are implying, since you have descended to protect the entire universe, how can you neglect your own devotees? So this is the complaint that the gopis are giving, and they are quoting Lord Brahma, that, you know, even the creator, Lord Brahma himself, has come to, you know, he has brought you down for this purpose, and you're going completely against it, Krishna. It is not fair. So this is their complaint to Krishna, and their appeal to appear in front of them. As is told by His Holiness Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, when he starts the Gopi Gita, Maharaj says that ye gopiyon ka geet nahi hai, ye gopiyon ka krandan hai. This is not just a mere song that the gopis have sung in separation from Krishna, but they have literally poured their hearts out. They have literally, you know, they are just crying in separation from Krishna. So we need to understand this very mood of the gopis and Srimati Radharani, and then we will be able to appreciate each and every word of the Gopi Gita. Moving on to text 5. Virachita bhayam Vrishni dhuryate Charanami yosha Translation. O best of the Vrishnis, your lotus-like hand, which holds the hand of the goddess of fortune, grants fearlessness to those who approach your feet out of fear of material existence. O lover, please place that wish-fulfilling lotus hand on our heads. So this is a very, very, in a very beautiful verse where the gopis are glorifying Krishna's lotus hands and his lotus feet. Mostly his lotus hands in this particular verse, because they're saying that virachita abhayam, that his hands are granting fearlessness. Your lotus-like hands, they grant fearlessness. Because why do they grant fearlessness? Because by taking shelter of Krishna, you know, Krishna is always holding on to the hands of the goddess of fortune. And when anybody, any particular soul, when, you know, they approach the lotus feet of Krishna, you know, by giving up material existence, that lotus hand grants fearlessness to that particular soul. So the gopis are pleading to Krishna that, please, place that wish-fulfilling hand on our head, Krishna. So it's basically just the way that the gopis are, you know, in different forms, in different ways, they're just begging Krishna that, please, Krishna, come. Come in front of us. You know, in this regard, the lotus hand of Krishna is glorified. And I was, just yesterday, I was reading this very beautiful book, which is called as Sri Krishna Nika Kaumudi. It is actually written by Srila Kavi Karnapura, who is one of the three glorious sons of Shivananda Sen. And, you know, the way Kavi Karnapura, the way he describes some of the pastimes, the intimate pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and the relationship of Krishna and the gopas, Krishna and the gopis, Krishna with his parents, Nandajan Jashoda, and Mother Rohini, it is so beautiful, it is so deep. And over there is one mention of Krishna's lotus hands, which, you know, now when I read this particular verse, glorifying the lotus hand of Krishna, by the mercy of Kavi Karnapura, I can, you know, I'm able to just remember this particular anecdote that I read from Krishna Nika Kaumudi. I want to share with all of you. It is explained there that when Krishna, before he goes into the forest, Krishna actually eats a complete meal before he goes into the forest. Mother Jashoda, she begs Srimati Radharani to come, and, you know, because Radharani was blessed by Durvasa Muni, that whatever Srimati Radharani will cook will be nectarian. It will be pure nectar, amrita, and that anybody who eats anything cooked by Srimati Radharani will never fall sick. So Durvasa Muni actually gave this benediction to Srimati Radharani so that Mother Jashoda would hear this, you know, and she would allow Srimati Radharani to come and, you know, invite her to come to cook for Krishna every day. So Durvasa Muni here was used as a beautiful instrument to unite the divine couple in their loving exchanges. So every day, so actually after hearing this, you know, this benediction that Durvasa Muni gave to Srimati Radharani, this became, you know, very, very famous all over Brajamandal, that everybody in Brajamandal knew that Srimati Radharani's hands are transcendental and whatever she cooks is pure nectar, is just amrita, and that anybody who eats whatever she cooks, they can never fall sick. So this, you know, news, it spelled, it just spread like wildfire all over Braj. And Mother Jashoda, she heard it. And Mother Jashoda, she was always so concerned about her dearly beloved son, that every day someone or the other is always attacking my baby Krishna. He is always in so much of, you know, difficulty. Somebody just comes, you know, wind blows him away, the chariot tries to kill him. So many different things happen to Krishna, my dear baby, every single day. So then Mother Jashoda went with a humble appeal to Mother Kirtida Sundari and came to Mother Kirtida Sundari and said that, please, I beg you that whatever happens, I want Sri Radhe to come to Nandagaon every day and cook for my dearly beloved Krishna. And Mother Kirtida, she just agreed. You know, she couldn't refuse the heartfelt appeal of Mother Jashoda. So every morning, Mother Jashoda, she would send a caravan and to bring Srimati Radharani from Barshana to Nandagaon. And Srimati Radharani would come with her celebrated gopis, you know, assisted by them, by Lalita, Vishakha, Indulekha, Champakalata, Tungavidya, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Suchitra, everybody would come and they would all assist Srimati Radharani. And very expertly, within a matter of couple of hours, Srimati Radharani and the gopis would cook a huge feast for Krishna every single day. And they were very expert and very, very fast. And the glory of their cooking was that Srimati Radharani would never repeat. If she's cooking something today, she would never repeat it tomorrow. And she would make Krishna eat everything, you know, different every single day. That is the glory of Srimati Radharani. So it is so amazing the way she would cook, and the gopis would, with, you know, so much, you know, expertise, they would all come together and they would assist Srimati Radharani in cooking a fantastic meal for Krishna. And they would not just cook for Krishna, but they would actually cook for all the Gopa friends of Krishna, for Lord Balaram, for Nanda Maharaj, for Jashoda Mata, for, you know, Mother Rohini, for everybody they would cook. So they would cook a huge feast every single morning. So when Krishna, he would, you know, wake up hearing the fragrant smells coming from the kitchen, coming because of the lotus hands of Srimati Radharani, and that fragrance would drive Krishna crazy. He would get up and he would quickly get dressed, and then he would come. And he would come and sit on the dining table. Mother Jashoda and Mother Rohini would bring the two boys, Krishna and Balaram. They would come and sit on the dining table with Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Baba was there, and then all the gopas would also come, because they would come because, you know, of course they want to eat with Krishna, but then after eating they all have to go out into the forest to, you know, graze the cows, so they would come. So then Krishna would invite all the gopas to also sit around in the dining table, and all of them would start enjoying the prasad. And when, you know, Krishna would, you know, the plate would come in front of Krishna, Krishna would feel, you know, it is said that the prasad would be so, you know, fulfilling, that just by looking at the way Srimati Radharani has decorated Krishna's plate, Krishna would be completely satisfied. There would be no amount of hunger left in Krishna just by seeing, having darshan of the beautiful love, the way Srimati Radharani has served each and every item on Krishna's plate. So then it is said that Krishna actually washes his lotus hands before he starts to eat. And this is what I wanted to say, that whenever I think of lotus hand of Krishna, this particular scene, which is described so beautifully by Srila Kavi Karnapura, comes to mind. And it is explained that as soon as water is poured on Krishna's lotus palms, Krishna collects it. It seems like as if a mirror has fallen on the, you know, it is because Krishna's lotus hands, they are red. And the water that is falling on Krishna's hand, that collects in Krishna's hand, it turns red from the radiance of the lotus palm of Krishna. And everybody is so mesmerized who are sitting around Krishna, the gopas and Nanda Baba and Mother Jashoda. They are just so mesmerized that it looks as if Krishna's hand, he's holding something very, very reddish in his hand. And it is moving. that scene is just so amazing, that, you know, the way the water falls on Krishna's lotus hands, his reddish lotus palm, it is like the water also turns red. And when Krishna drops that water from his lotus hands, everyone can see the auspicious symbols that are present on Krishna's lotus hands. It is so beautifully described. So, and then, of course, Krishna starts eating all the different items, and it is explained that when Krishna starts eating one item after the other, he feels completely satisfied. You know, he doesn't feel like going to the next item, because the one item that he is currently eating, it is so nurturing. He is completely satisfied, but then he feels, no, maybe this item I really have to try. Sri Radhe has cooked so lovingly for me, so I definitely need to try. So then when Krishna takes that, you know, item, he tastes that, then he feels, oh, this is so good, this is so better. And then he, you know, for every item, he feels that same way, that it is better than the previous one. So like this, Krishna's lotus hands, he tastes with his lotus hands. He put every morsel that is presented to him. He takes every morsel that is presented on his plate by Srimati Radharani, and he relishes the nectar that Srimati Radharani has cooked. So just wanted to share this very beautiful leela of Krishna honoring Srimati Radharani's love in the form of her cooking. Moving on to text 6. Vraja janati han vira yoshita nija janasmaya dhamsana nita bhaja sakhe bhavat kinkaris mano jalaruhananam charu darshaya. Translation. O you who destroy the suffering of Raja's people, O hero of all women, your smile shatters the false pride of your devotees. Please, dear friend, accept us as your maid servants and show us your beautiful lotus face. So here the gopis, they are saying to Krishna that, Krishna, we very well know that you have left us because we became proud. That the gopis know very, very well that Krishna, he can tolerate anything. He can tolerate anything and everything. But if any of the devotees of Krishna becomes proud, Krishna will go to any extent to curb his pride, to destroy his pride. Krishna will go to any extent. We know what he did with Indra, how Krishna, he shattered the pride of Indra by lifting Sri Giriraj Govardhan Maharaj. He just lifted Govardhan Hill, gave shelter to all the Brajabasis for 7 days and seven nights. And then Indra realized his huge blunder that he made. Similarly, Krishna also shattered the pride of Lord Brahma himself when Lord Brahma stole the calves and the little boyfriends of Krishna. He destroyed Lord Brahma's pride as well. Here, the gopis realize that, yes, Krishna, we very well know that you can tolerate everything but pride. Pride is something that Krishna will, you know, does not tolerate. You know, there is something called inflated ego. Inflated ego is when we think great of oneself, you know, that, oh, look, I can do something which nobody else can do. Look at the way I do aarti. Look at the way I speak on Krishna's topics. Everyone is, you know, glorifying me. This is what we think in our heart when we are, you know, giving very good classes. And, you know, that's the pride. We are inflated that look at us by, you know, by the potency that we have and the power of our speech. We are able to speak like this. And everyone is so happy. So somehow I am making everybody happy. I am serving these devotees like nobody else. Look at the way I'm serving. That is pride. That is inflated pride. There is another kind of pride also, which is called as deflated pride. Deflated pride is when we think, oh, I'm not doing anything. I cannot do anything. I am so fallen. I am so sinful. I cannot do anything. I am not capable of anybody's mercy. I cannot do any service properly. And we mistake this deflated pride as humility. But humility, what is the actual description of humility? Humility does not mean that, you know, we say, oh yes, I'm very fallen, I'm very sinful, I cannot do any service, I'm not qualified for anything, I don't even, you know, deserve anything. Is that really humility? Well, humility actually is, the definition of humility is to not think less about oneself, or less of oneself, sorry. Humility is not to think less of oneself, but rather humility is to think less about oneself. It means that when we stop thinking about I, let's take this I out of the equation, whether it be I in an inflated way or a deflated way. Let's get this I out of the equation and replace it with Krishna. That is real humility. When we start thinking about Krishna more and less about ourselves, that is humility. We should not just think that, oh yes, I'm fallen. You know, one time Srila Prabhupada said, okay, you are fallen, so what are you doing about it? So we should know that, yes, it is important for us to feel that, yes, I'm not qualified for, you know, doing any services. But if that is just what we are concentrating on, aren't we concentrating too much on ourselves? That I am this, I am that, whether it be in the inflated sense or the deflated sense. We are again becoming I-conscious rather than Krishna-conscious. So when we think about Krishna, when we think about other devotees, about how we can really perfect our lives when we are serving other devotees for their pleasure, when we are serving the senior devotees, when we are serving every devotee for their pleasure, then that is actual humility. Srila Prabhupada is very, 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 you know, apt in following this principle. Srila Prabhupada, he always took that I out of the equation and he always replaced it with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada showed us how we can truly follow the principle of, or the guideline of utility is the principle. You know, when we really truly do that, then that is actual genuine humility. So again, humility is to take out I from the equation, to think less about oneself, not of oneself. And let's think more on about Krishna. Let's think more about service to the devotees. That will be a success of life. And then automatically all the good qualities will be naturally manifest in ourselves. We don't have to do special striving to achieve devotional perfection. It will automatically come. So here, the gopis are saying to Krishna that, Krishna, we accept that we did become very, very proud that you are dancing with us and us alone, and that you could not tolerate that pride and you left us. But Krishna, we are realizing our mistake. So, you know, you always come to the aid whenever Braja's people, you know, the Brajbasis, whenever they're suffering, you are immediately there even before they start calling out to you. Here, we know we made a mistake, Krishna, and we are rectifying our mistake. We promise that we'll never be proud again. But please, please accept us as your maid servants and show us your beautiful smiling lotus face. It is explained that Krishna's smita, his smita, Neja jana smaya dhvamsana smita, that Krishna's smile, his very elegant smile, you know, smita is said that it is just, you know, when the lips just expand and your teeth is not shown, that is called as smita. That kind of smile is called as smita. So Krishna's smile destroys all pride. So they are saying that Krishna, yes, our pride has gone. Trust me, it has gone. It is shattered. And we are begging you that come in front of us with your beautiful lotus face, with that smile decorated on your lotus face, so that even the little possibility of, you know, any pride coming up will be immediately destroyed just by looking at your smita. So that is the, you know, way the gopis are appealing to Krishna to appear in front of them. Moving on to text 7. Pranata dehinam papakashanam trinacharanugam shriniketanam panipanarpitam Jam krinu kuche shuna krindirichayam. Translation: your lotus feet destroy the past sins of all embodied souls who surrender to them. Those feet follow after the cows in the pastures and are the eternal abode of the goddess of fortune. Since you once put those feet on the hoods of the great serpent Kaliya, please place them upon our breasts and tear away the lust in our hearts. Here, this is actually one of my very, very, very dear verses of the Gopi Gita. This is one of my most favorite ones. This text 7, because here the glorification that the gopis are giving, the way they are glorifying Krishna, it is really, really heart-touching, very, 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 very compelling. And I remember the way Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj gave his purport to this particular verse. I will try to repeat as I have heard from Maharaj. So Maharaj is saying that pranata dehinam papakarshanam, that hey Krishna, your lotus feet have the potency of attracting all papa. Papa akarshanam, that you are just capable of, your lotus feet is actually capable of attracting all sinful activities, sinful reactions. That is the potency of your lotus feet. And what does that lotus feet do? Trinacharanugam Shriniketanam. That lotus feet, which is actually the abode of Shriniketanam, it is the abode of the goddess of fortune. because Lakshmi Devi is always residing at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. She's always massaging the lotus feet of Krishna. So that lotus feet of Krishna is actually the abode of Sri, of Lakshmi Devi. Imagine, her home is Krishna's lotus feet. So Sri Niketanam. And that Sri Niketanam, where is it going? Trina Charanugam. Trina means grass. Trinachar means cows, animals that actually graze on the grass. Trinachar, charna matlab, to graze. And trina means grass. So trinachar, the cows and the, you know, the buffaloes, all of those animals who graze on the grass are called as trinachar. And Krishna is Trinachar Anugami. Anugami means follower. You know, we say Rupa Anuga, Srila Prabhupada Anuga. Anuga means to follow. So Krishna is Trinachar Anuga. Who is Krishna following? Krishna is following this Trinachar. Trinachar, now if you notice this, Maharaj explains so beautifully. He says that Trinachar matlab, what they do is they walk in the front and Krishna walks behind the Trinachar. He is their follower. And when the Trinachar are going in the front, what do they go? Do they just simply walk? No. When they are walking, they actually keep eating the grass on the way. So they were, and when you, if you've ever seen the way the cows or any animal, when they eat the grass, they actually take the grass which is on the top, the soft, nice grass. So they just eat it, and they don't eat it in such a, it's not a clean, you know, sweep that they do. It's after they finish eating, you know, the roots of the grass, you know, it is exposed. And it is very, very difficult to step on those roots because it really hurts the feet. And Krishna, he is actually walking on the half-eaten grass, which is exposing the root. And Krishna is stepping on this particular, you know, hard, you know, root of the grass. And it is hurting his lotus feet so much. And that is actually painful to Sri Lakshmi Devi because it is that lotus feet is her abode. And that her abode is in pain. She, her heart really bleeds out. Seeing that, you know, when Krishna is walking behind these animals, behind the cows, Krishna is stepping on this half-eaten grass, which is very, very hard. It is very, very, you know, it like pierces. So when I had first heard this explanation by Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj, I really was not able to, you know, I accepted it. Of course I accepted it. But I experienced it when in 2016, we were very, very fortunate to be able to, you know, Srimati Radharani and the mercy of the Vaishnavas, the mercy of the Guru Vargas, we were allowed to perform the Brajamandal Parikrama, the 30-day walking pilgrimage. And when we were walking one day, the first time we were walking through some fields, and, you know, those fields, they had used a machine to cut out the grass, and the roots were still there, and they had become so hard, and we had to step on those roots, and I was immediately reminded of this particular verse. And when, you know, you step on that, it really is like a sword, you know, piercing through your feet. So I was thinking, my God, Krishna, he willingly used to go, you know, behind these cows, on after they have eaten the soft grass on the top, revealing the hard root at the bottom, and Krishna would step on these hard roots. And Krishna's lotus feet is soft like lotus petals. and what, how much pain Krishna would have, but Krishna would experience bliss because he is, you know, he would feel very, very amazing that he is actually a Trinacharanuga. He would feel, just like how we feel so fortunate to be Srila Prabhupada Anugas, to be the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, Krishna would actually feel very, very fortunate and blessed that he is a Trinacharanuga. And therefore, his happiness was so much that this pain of stepping on this half-eaten grass was nothing. It would not never hurt Krishna. Krishna would not feel the hurt. But Krishna's devotees, his devotees, the gopis and Sri Lakshmi Devi, their hearts would bleed to see Krishna undergoing these kind of tribulations. So this is the meaning of the second line of Trinacharanugam Shriniketanam. The third line says, Fani Fanarpitam Te Padambujam. He Krishna, your Pada Ambuja means, Ambuja means lotus and Pada means feet. So Te Padambujam, your lotus feet, what did you do with that lotus feet again? Firstly, you became a Trinacharanuga. Then the second thing, which is explained in the third line, is you are also known as Fani Fanarpitam. When you danced on the hoods of Kaliya, destroying his pride by every kick that you gave on his hood, you were, you know, making Kaliya bleed out all his poisonous effects, and you purified Kaliya. You did not kill Kaliya. You know, Krishna killed every demon that he came in contact with, but Krishna destroyed the demoniac nature within Kaliya. He took out all the poison from Kaliya and banished Kaliya from Vrindavan. But he delivered Kaliya. He made Kaliya become free from all of his poisonous nature. So did Kaliya ask for it? Did Kaliya say, yes, yes, Krishna, come, come, please come, I'm begging you to purify me. Please come and dance on my hoods and purify me. Kaliya did not beg that. In fact, Kaliya was fighting with you. He was, you know, repulsive. He was angry with you. But why did you come to his territory? But what did you do? Your lotus feet, you arpitam, fani fana arpitam. Arpitam means you offered. Kaliya didn't ask for it, but aapne apne charano ko arpan kiya. Arpan matlab, you offered your lotus feet to this Kaliya. And here Krishna, for so many times, so many, you know, in so many ways, here we, your maidservants, we are begging you to put your lotus feet upon our chest, and you are not heeding to our request. This is the complaint of the gopis. That here, you became with your lotus feet, you are following the Trinacharas. They have not told you to follow them, but you are still doing that. Kaliya didn't ask for your lotus feet. Still you went and offered your lotus feet to Kaliya and took care of him, you know, delivered him. But here we, your maidservants, krinukucheshuna, krindhirichayam, that, you know, please, we are helplessly begging you, Krishna, that please put your lotus feet upon our chest. And you know, our chest, we understand that it is neither the hoods of Kaliya nor the half-eaten, you know, hard root of the leftover grass. Our chest is more hard than that, you know, grass and Kaliya's hoods also. It is very, very poisonous. We know that. But still, Krishna, we are begging you, we are pleading that please put your lotus feet on our chest and fulfill our desire. So this is the appeal that the gopis are doing to Krishna. So with this, we will end here today, and we will continue on from text 8 onwards. Shri Shri Gopi Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrinda Ki Jai. If there's any questions, comments, or realizations, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for this really wonderful class. I have so many questions, if you allow, or if the time allows. Yeah. You know, you just finished saying how Krishna was in bliss, you know, walking behind the cows who ate this half-eaten grass, half-ate the grass. You know, and when you were explaining why, you used a Sanskrit term, so I didn't understand what was the cause of that bliss and falling behind and his feet getting pricked like that.
Oh, okay, because Krishna, he is the lover of the cows. And because he loves the cows so much, you know, whatever, he actually prides himself in, you know, being the follower of the cows. So out of love for the cows, Krishna does not feel the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that from context, but I was just trying to make sure that's what my understanding was. Okay, and also, when you were describing Krishna's lotus hands, mm-hmm. you know, and how they give that reddish glow to the water mm-hmm. that's poured on them. Well, for mm-hmm. one thing, the water in that lila that's being poured on his hands so that he can wash his hands, or why?
Yes, yes, yeah, okay. That's why the water is poured.
Excuse me?
That's why the water was poured, so that Krishna could wash his hands before uh-huh. he starts eating.
And so when you were describing this, I think at that time you mentioned the, you were trying to describe something special. And I think at that time you were, you were referencing the symbols on his hands. So at that point, I feel like I missed something. I mean, you were describing like the reddish glow mm-hmm. that his hands gave the water. Mm-hmm. And then you said something about the symbols on his hands.
Well, I didn't go into details of the symbol of Krishna's hands because mm-hmm. the symbols that are present on Krishna's lotus hands and lotus feet, that is an entire seminar in itself.
Oh,
but
yes, I know.
The auspicious markings that are present in Krishna's lotus hands, I just mentioned that when Krishna would pour the water down, you know, when the water is poured in his hand for washing, he would wash it, and then he would pour it down. So when he would pour it down, everybody present would get to see the auspicious markings on Krishna's lotus hands, which is, you know, that his fingertips, right fingertips, it is said that all five of them have the marking of a conch shell. His left fingertips have the marking of chakra, Sudarshan chakra. His right hand has club, flag, I think, Sudarshan chakra. He has a sword. He has the elephant goad. Left hand has lotus, umbrella, a fish, half moon. Like these, you know, many, many symbols, very auspicious mm-hmm. symbols, and each of them have a very special meaning why mm-hmm. they are present. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I just mentioned that, you know, these auspicious symbols would become very visible to everyone when uh-huh. Krishna would wash his hands, and his lotus hands would just be, you know, visible for everyone to take darshan like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, I wonder if you could just spell this word smita for me. When Krishna smiles, but mm-hmm. his teeth doesn't show, is that S-M-I-T-A?
Yes, smita, yes.
Okay. And I think just the last thing for me is, in the beginning of your talk, it seems as though when Krishna, when the gopis are kind of like chastising Krishna for not appearing before them and making them suffer in this way.
Mm.
There seems to be some references to him as God.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to reconcile that with the fact that, you know, the Brajbasis really don't see him in this way at all. There's like, you know, maybe somewhere deep inside they might have some awareness, but it's so far removed. You know, they're so oblivious to the fact that he's God.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that they could have, you know, enjoy their relationship with him, this kind of relationship with him. So that's mm-hmm. why I'm trying to reconcile that with the relationship.
The thing is that here the gopis are actually trying to appeal and appease Krishna. So it's not that the gopis or the Brajbasis, they are oblivious. I mean, they actually don't even care that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They just love him unconditionally. You know, mm-hmm. being the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not a criteria for them to love Krishna. Having said that, but they do know his position. They do know that. And the very fact that they are quoting that Krishna has come as, you know, as an appeal to Lord Brahma's request, and, you know, so they are actually just quoting all of this to make him, you know, realize that, okay, Krishna, we understand your position, but we are still begging you to look at us, you know, as your maidservants, as your lovers, and please come in front of us. I mean, that's just like a supporting statement, you know, like one time I heard this analogy. Of course, Srila Prabhupada gave this very, very, very vividly, that the mother of the president doesn't care that, you know, her son is the president. She will not come in and say, oh, Mr. President, and not deal
yeah.
with as Mr.
Yeah.
President. She will never do that. But she knows that, yes, her son is the president. So sometimes if she wants certain things
mm-hmm.
from her son, she might say, well, you're the president. You're able to give it.
Yeah,
why not
yeah.
for me too, you know? That just
uh-huh.
might be a way of her to, you know, appease to her
yeah.
son, you know? So
yeah,
that's
for the gopi too.
The same mood uh-huh. in which gopis are doing it, because they don't really care that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Using it to, you know, help in making their appeal to Krishna. It's like that.
Yeah, it's like they're just using everything, just maybe out of desperation, just using any reason, right, to get him
yeah.
to come. Maybe.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice. Actually, I know that I said that was the last one, but I just thought of just one last thing. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That I wonder if you could distinguish, because we, as obviously the gopis, their love for Krishna is beyond anything that we can conceive. So, you know, what to speak of their purity. So can you, in light of this fact, can you just distinguish between their pride and our pride? Because obviously Krishna was not chastising them for having our kind of contaminated pride, you know.
Correct.
So, you know, why was he chastising their pride? Because their pride was transcendental.
Correct.
It's not like ours, so... just trying to understand their pride versus our pride and why he would chastise them for it like this.
Okay, very good question. The thing that is explained is that when we become proud, it is because of our own, we feel superior in whatever way, you know, like I was talking about deflated and inflated
mm-hmm.
Pride that comes in us, and that is to prove our greatness over everybody else, you know, that we are, you know, the greatest, and it is out of envy. It is out of envy towards everybody else. The root cause of our pride is envy. And the root cause of the so-called pride of the gopis is nothing but pure love. That is the difference. The gopis also exhibit anger towards Krishna. They, you know, it's a rasa in itself, their transcendental anger towards Krishna. But that anger is also out of pure love for Krishna. It is not for their selfish desires, no. It is completely transcendental because it is driven with love. Love is the bottom line. So even their pride, their so-called pride, it was because of their unconditional love for Krishna. And that is the difference. Our pride is driven by envy. The Nitya Siddhas, the Nitya Baddhas are, you know, driven by envy. And the Nitya Siddhas, they are driven by love. That is the difference.
Mm-hmm. And so the reason why Krishna would chastise them, even though it was out of love, is just for the sake of
separation. To increase their love. It is said that, you know, after Vipralambha, the sambhoga or the union is much more sweeter. You know, when there is Vipralambha,
yes.
When there is separation. You know, it is said that, in fact, separation is much more sweeter than even sambhoga, because in Vipralambha, there is the hope of sambhoga. But in sambhoga, there is always the hope of Vipralambha, because after sambhoga, again, Vipralambha would come back. So, therefore, Sriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he taught us, you know, service in separation, that what is the actual mellow in service and separation, because the gopis are actually always in this particular mood. Even when they're in sambhoga, they're actually in Vipralambha. So therefore, Vipralambha is actually the highest, which Sriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed, which Srila Prabhupada so easily gave to us. You know, what we are continuing right now, even though Srila Prabhupada is not physically present with us, is because of our love to Srila Prabhupada. We are doing what we are doing is because we, somehow or the other, we are in love with Srila Prabhupada. We are grateful to Srila Prabhupada. So we are continuing what we are doing. So this is Vipralambha Seva, service in separation. So we are all in training for service in separation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I really appreciate all that you've given us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji, for your very, very beautiful questions. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Guru Maharaj. Very nice class, very nectarian narration, Mataji. Just at the end, you mentioned that Kalia, he didn't ask any mercy, but still Krishna, he offered his lotus feet on his head. So what is the qualification of the Kaliya, or what is the reason that he got that mercy?
Very good question. Well, you know, Kaliya, don't know so much the history of Kaliya, that who he was in his previous life, and why Krishna gave this much mercy to Kaliya, where, you know, every demon Krishna killed, you know, was really, you know, they had history. Every one of them have a history. But Kaliya's only history is that he had a fight with Garuda, and the only place that he could stay secure was this Vrindavan, because Garuda could not enter Vrindavan Dham. And that's why Kaliya had sought shelter of Vrindavan Dham. And, you know, when he sought shelter of Vrindavan Dham, he actually became very, very proud of, you know, that he is the Adhipatya, you know, he was the all in all, and he started, you know, poisoning the waters of the Jamuna and, you know, inflicting misery upon the Brajabasis, even the cows and the cowherd boys and everybody. And when Krishna saw that, he actually also wanted to resolve the differences. It is explained by Prabhupada that he wanted to resolve the differences between Kaliya and Garuda. And because Krishna, he doesn't want Garuda to also have any kind of inimical relationship with anyone. So because Garuda is a very dear devotee, you know, he is Krishna's Vahana, you know, in that sense. So in that sense, Krishna did not want Garuda to also have any kind of inimical relationship with anybody. So to resolve that, you know, he made sure that he is giving his mercy to Kaliya. And that's the reason why he actually danced on the hoods of Kaliya, so that Krishna's lotus feet would imprint on Kaliya's hoods. And when Krishna told Kaliya to leave Jamuna and to go to the ocean, Kaliya said that, I can't leave Vrindavan, you know, I'll stay here and I will continue on, but I promise I won't poison anymore. But then Krishna said, no, you have to go. And I promise that Garuda won't harm you, because he's going to see my lotus feet impression on your hood and he will not do anything to you. So you go. So that's how Krishna just sent Kaliya away. So what I read from the Krishna book, and the reason why Krishna did this, was also, Prabhupada explains that he did it so that Garuda doesn't, you know, he also resolves his animosity with Kaliya. He had several, you know, animosity with Kaliya, and Krishna can't tolerate that, you know, devotees have anything other than cordial relationships amongst each other. So, you know, that's what I can say. But if there's any other, you know, comments by anybody else, we can hear. But this is what I can say. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, Mataji. And then other, we can say also, you, because the Kaliya's wife, they also
pleaded. Yes, of course. Of course.
So that Krishna, is not, I mean, just to please the devotee.
Yes, that is definitely there, that they requested that Kaliya be left, and Krishna always listens to his devotees, so that is definitely there.
Very good point, Mataji. Just to please, Malav, to please his devotees, or to shelter mercy on his devotee, he put the feet on Kaliya's head, you know, to please Garuda, basically. No?
Right. To make sure that Garuda's animosity towards Kaliya is
yes,
that he can become friendly with Kaliya.
Okay.
So that's the you know, what the verse we were reading yesterday, that Krishna always is very, very fond of friendly relationships amongst his devotees. That's what Krishna likes. So, you know, Krishna can go up to any extent to make this fulfilled, you know, that he wants to see that everybody is very much unitedly serving, you know, together they're serving Krishna. That's what Krishna is most happy. And that's why Srila Prabhupada also said that your love for me will be shown by the way you cooperate with each other. So that's the bottom line, that we need to serve not individually but collectively. That is what pleases Srila Prabhupada, that is what will please our Guru Vargas, that is what ultimately pleases Krishna. So, thank you very much for this very beautiful question. Any more questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Mataji, the Lord Param Shri Prabhupada Jai Guru Maharaj Ji. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji. Wonderful lecture. My question is like the same as Mataji asked, like the gopis, they know what is the position of Krishna. And how come means like again they are loving him like as a lover, and again like remembering again his position, he is the husband of goddess of fortune. So it's kind of hard to understand, because Yashoda Mai with a stick will beat him and like that, she will not say like you are a husband of goddess of fortune like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, so can you explain a little bit?
Why the gopis are referring to Krishna as the husband of the goddess of fortune?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay. Well, because it is explained actually in the next chapter itself, chapter 32, it is explained that when Krishna appears in front of the gopis, he actually first comes as Lord Vishnu. He manifests in the four-handed form of Lord Vishnu. And when the gopis see Lord Vishnu, they actually say, oh, no, you go, bring our Shyamasundara, bring Krishna, two-handed form. We don't want to see you. The gopis very well know what the hierarchy is. You know that Vishnu comes from Krishna, and Lakshmi Devi, that she is actually the husband of the goddess of, she is the wife of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. The gopis know that very well. So who Krishna is, you know, they know that Krishna is their prophecy. The Lakshmi Devi is actually the wife of one of the expansions of Krishna. So then don't feel threatened. You know, like in the mundane sense, if we see that, you know, a wife can actually tolerate everything, but she cannot tolerate that, you know, there's another woman in her husband's life, right? I think that's the purpose of your question, if I'm correct?
Yes.
Right, okay. So, but the gopis, they are not threatened by Lakshmi Devi or understanding the fact or knowing the fact that, you know, Lakshmi Devi is actually the wife of the Supreme Person. They know that very well, but they're not threatened by it. Reason being that they know that Krishna is theirs and they are Krishna's. That each and every one of the gopis is very secure in their own individual relationship with Krishna. Although the gopis also know that Krishna loves Srimati Radharani the most. And they are always, you know, looking for opportunities how they can unite the divine couple together. But whenever Krishna comes to them also, they feel very, very nice. They feel that, yes, Krishna has come to me. Lalita also is very, very happy when Krishna comes and dances with her. But she knows that Krishna is dancing with me, but Krishna is also there with Srimati Radharani. They know for a fact that, you know, Krishna treats each and every one of the gopis according to their, you know, liking. They know that very well. So therefore, they feel very, very secure. They don't feel threatened that, okay, if Krishna loves me, if he loves that other girl, then, you know, his love for me will be less. No. Because they know the absolute nature of Krishna. That they know that Krishna is all expanding, that, you know, his love is never ending, that even though Krishna not only has relationship with just the gopis or Lakshmi Devi, but Krishna has relationship with even each and every, you know, atom in the universe, in the creation. Krishna has unique relationship with each and every one of them. Still, they are not threatened by Krishna's relationship with everybody else, because they know that their relationship with Krishna is unique. That is the glory of a spiritual relationship. You know, why is it said that when, you know, Lord Chaitanya, when he was in the Mahaprakash Leela, when Mahaprabhu gave special mercy to Murari to Murari, and he was giving so much mercy to every particular devotee. But when every devotee was going and receiving the mercy from Lord Chaitanya, everybody else who was witnessing that mercy, they were all being very happy for the one who was receiving the mercy. None of them were thinking that, oh, what did Murari do? Oh, what did Kulavacha Sridhar do to do this? I am doing much more better service. Why am I not getting this mercy from Krishna? You know, I should also get from Lord Chaitanya, I should also get this mercy. I am much better than this Kulavacha Sridhar. Nobody was thinking like that. Everybody was rather thinking, oh, look at Kulavacha Sridhar. Look at Murari. Look at the way they are getting all this mercy. And Lord Chaitanya made the declaration that day. He said that all of you are getting special mercy because all of you were having so much love for each and every devotee when they were getting their mercy. Each and every one of you had, none of you felt threatened when everyone else was receiving the mercy. So all of you have received the same kind of mercy that any one individual has received tonight. Mahaprabhu declared this. When Lord Chaitanya embraced Srila Rupa Goswami, all the devotees were in ecstasy that Mahaprabhu was giving his mercy to Rupa Goswami. They were blissful. And Lord Chaitanya declared that this, you know, embrace that I'm giving to Rupa Goswami, the same effect will be there for each and every one of you because you are happy in the mercy that the other devotee is getting. Same with Maharaj Pratap Rudra. So Lord Chaitanya taught with his actions that how we need to be happy when any other devotee is receiving the mercy. Then we will be the recipient of the same kind of mercy that that devotee is receiving. But if we feel anything other than happy, then the mercy deflects. We don't receive the mercy just goes away from us. That is the thing. So we need to always feel secure, even while we serve senior Vaishnavas or when we serve our Guru Vargas. We should know that, yes, there are certain devotees who are very expert in serving the Guru Vargas. And if we can assist them in their service, that our lives, you know, that way we will also be able to receive that same kind of mercy. It is not about, you know, doing less or doing more. It's about doing the best to our own individual capacity, what we can do. So therefore, we should never feel threatened that, oh, that person has too much access to Guru, or that person is always, you know, oh, the Guru calls them, oh, the Guru is having this relationship with them. Look at me, I'm not getting anything. No. Rather, if we can serve such devotees and, you know, be happy for them, then trust me, one day or the other, that same fortune will come to even to us. We'll get the same kind of mercy. We will get the same kind of mercy. So it's all about having the feeling of security which the gopis had. They never felt that anybody else is threatening their relationship with Krishna because they knew that my relationship with Krishna is unique. And that Krishna has unique relationship with each and every living entity. So why feel threatened? Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji, very nice. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Very nice question. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, anybody else has any question?
I just have to say, Mataji, that I just loved that answer so much. You know, that basis for not having jealousy for the relationship that devotees have with either Guru or Krishna, you know, because the fact that we each have something to offer in
yes.
that relationship that is not duplicatable.
Exactly.
By others.
It is unique.
Yes. I really appreciated that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you so much.
I know it's late, but I just can't help but revisit your talk about the having this vipralamba even in sambhoga.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I missed something right at that point where you were explaining that. How is it that the devotees, the Vajrasis, have, and how that relates to us? Because right now we are definitely in separation from, for some of us, from both Guru and Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know, we're all in separation from Srila Prabhupada, obviously. We're all,
mm-hmm,
in separation from Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you were trying to say that we are also having separation in Sambhog, or were you saying something different?
Well, what I was saying is that we are in training, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually taught how to perfect our lives by performing Vipralamba Seva. And that Srila Prabhupada embodied that, you know, in his services. The entire manifestation of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is actually Srila Prabhupada's Vipralamba to his spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in that sense, Srila
Prabhupada... And the Sambhog portion is... Does that relate to us too? The Sambhog, you know how you're saying that the Vajrasis, even
yes,
while in Sambhog, they are experiencing,
yes,
Vipralamba.
Yes, because in Vipralamba, actually, it is explained that why is Vipralamba considered the highest, even higher than Sambhoga, is because the gopis also know very well, even Srimati Radharani knows very well, that Krishna will not be with her all the time. That he will keep going, you know, to different places. He goes to his parents, he goes to his,
okay,
gopis. You know, in that sense, that Krishna is, you know, he's always going to keep moving. And
mm-hmm.
So therefore, you know, the gopis feeling of the loving separation from Krishna, that is higher than their sambhoga, because the gopis actually get to think of Krishna. They feel that when they are thinking of Krishna, that they are more in connection with Krishna at that time, rather than when he is even personally present with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, that's...
Yeah, actually, I thought you were also going to say that, you know, because he is always moving, that even while they are in union with him, with Sambhog, they're experiencing separation in anticipation.
Exactly.
Of that.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That they know, you know, like Rukmini Devi, when Krishna came to see her in her own quarters, Rukmini Devi was crying, and Krishna said, "Why are you crying?" She said that, "You can't understand this. You've got no qualification, Krishna, to understand this." And Krishna was shocked. "How can I not understand what you are going through?" And she said, "Only Srimati Radharani can understand what I'm going through. That today I know that you are here, but you will leave me and go away. So my only solace is that, you know, yes, you will come back. You will come back. You know, that is the ray of hope that makes me lead my life. And only Srimati Radharani can understand this." Then Krishna says, "Oh, okay. So then I will take the mood of Radharani and come,
mm-hmm,
as Mahaprabhu." So that is what it is. That even, that's why Vipralamba is the highest. And
mm-hmm.
that's what is displayed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what he taught.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for indulging me so much beyond what you should have. And I hope this class will be recorded so that we can all listen again.
I'm just, you know, repeating what I have heard from Srila Prabhupada and all the Guru Vargas, all of you. And if I've committed any mistakes, please forgive me. Please be merciful. And, you know, I'm really, really grateful to the organizers, to Shama Gauri Mataji especially, for this opportunity to be with all of you. And to, you know, I feel enlightened when I'm in all of your association. So for this selfish reason, I keep coming back to get all of your association. So thank you. And very grateful to all of you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpataru pesha kripa sindhu eva cha satitanam pavana.